Before we started, Sydney asked the question, stone cold, are we supposed to be happy?
Ellie, slight slouched, asking, are we supposed to be happy in a black turtleneck?
I told her, you look like a hot supervillain.
I look like Elizabeth Holmes, you know, the
Yeah, wait, do the voice.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yes.
Okay, I asked the question, are we supposed to be happy? Yeah. And I immediately, the way you guys looked at me, it's like what's, have you seen on Twitter and stuff that mentally I am here and people are like posting random pictures?
Yeah.
You guys looking at me was like, mentally, I am whatever that snapshot was. Because I was like, are we supposed to be happy? And Ellie and Anne were just like, Sydney. Like, as if I said, like, I just murdered your neighbor. Yeah, exactly. Or something.
Well, Sydney, I mean, please. I think the story behind my face was, that's dark. And also, I don't fucking know.
Speaking of awful.
Ellie.
Ellie. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I am excited about what's coming up, guys.
Oh,
me too, dude.
I mean, even though this is a new system, it's always tricky, especially with combat. It's always tricky with, like, and frankly, never really interested in combat in role-playing for myself, despite having played mostly Starfinder and Pathfinder, which is, like, just that.
Very combat-y,
But I love having these, like, long arcs of just doing more like investigation, and that seems to be like the main thing with this game is that with the Vessin, it's not really about how to kill them, it's about how to handle them.
Well,
animal handling.
You said animal handling. You said something during the last episode that struck me as like these people have learned to live with them, which is also really present in the book, which is a great read. Even
and also, can we just talk about how beautiful,
so pretty
the books
and
are?
It feels
like a real book.
Yeah, it feels like a real book. It feels like a tome of ancient knowledge. The art is beautiful. Like literally, no one is paying us to say this.
It smells
like
it smells.
Well, hashtag not sponsored.
And it's also like, and I think Free League does this a lot. Like they pick an artist and then they make a role playing system based on it. They did it with Tales from the Loop. And for this, they used Johan Egerkrans, who made the original book called Vessin, which is basically just like it's just about
the Vessin.
Yeah. Vessin.
Oh.
It also the setting lends itself well to role playing. And Sydney, we were talking because it's like sometimes I just want to hang out in a town and like play Sims, but like with my role playing characters.
Kind of we go shopping. Well, that's what's really
coffee.
We got
twice.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
We do keep going to cafes, which I love, and I hope this continues. But
in 2020, the perfect RPG is going
outside. Is going outside to a cafe and getting coffee with friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is all I want Vessin to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vessin minus Vessin. It's like
Vessin minus.
It's like Garfield minus Garfield. The comic strips are just John.
It's so good. It's so good because it's.
We just walked through a like beautiful Swedish town.
Yeah, it's like what a lonely man John is.
I wish I could go to Europe, and you can just with monsters.
The trade off is like, no, you could come to Sweden in this
but
RPG.
You'll suffer.
Yeah, well, monsters. We'll see what you feel about the at the end of this chapter.
Boy.
It's raining outside. It's a very, very gray day. In fact, the whole world seems to be very, very gray nowadays. Mm. Henrik, you're walking down the street of Uppsala. We can assume that this is 3 years back. But you know what I mean.
In the current.
You reach a cafe called Ovandals. And you see your friend immediately. Young Astrid, who's sitting by a table. You sit down. The two of you share some pointless pleasantries with one another.
How are you feeling?
Exactly what we talked about earlier.
Fine, and how are you?
Stares. So she's in those kind of muted, like blues and pinks again. A little bit like frayed. There are ribbons on the dress. A little bit frayed, like a little less cared for. And she says, "I'm well."
Eventually, Henrik, you muster up the courage to finally get to the point of why you're here.
Three cigarettes later.
Yes.
He's smoking a lot.
And smoking inside as well, which, by the way, last time I went to this cafe, for real, in Uppsala, smoking was legal inside.
Blech.
And I died.
You love to see it. I love to smell cigarettes with coffee.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so he's like on his fifth cigarette and has only had coffee, so jittery. And he looks up at Astrid and he looks like shit. And he says, I keep having the same dream.
About the girl.
And he's like quiet for a little while. Her eyes.
We see a quick flash of the woman in the water from Hendrik's dream of last episode. And her terrifying green eyes opening.
It's something there that I can't explain it.
She sets that familiar book down on the table in front of her and folds her hands over it. I might have found something.
What?
If it is, Henrik, if it is what I think, then it is bad. It is very, very bad. I can't believe that the fool would have done something like that.
3 years earlier. What if I had said 4 years earlier and you're like, what?
Wait a second.
Double plot armor.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no.
Plus two.
Ellie is never going to do like any prequel stuff anytime.
From now on, it's only going to be like fucking flashbacks. It's never going to be flash forwards ever again.
Yep, sorry.
If you die in the past, no worries.
Exactly.
It's fine.
You brought this on yourself.
Yeah. So, you know now that it's probably a dead child.
Okay, so
you knew that already. Also be a bird.
Yeah, that's a thing. Why did it turn into a bird?
Franciba is like, oh right, I should perhaps have said so. So the Meeling, it's been known that they can shapeshift. So they do take the form of these weird birds occasionally.
Franz, next time we're in the library, could you just stay with us we're looking through all the books?
I understand that you're trying to test us, but we're also, you know, putting our lives on the line. And she is legitimately clutching her pearls. Aww. Like, she is, like, still a little shaken
and
from
also,
the entire experience.
The bird attacked me. My neck. Can we please get back to Furlan? What's the time?
Can we please go with this fart? You're good at that. No.
Furlan.
Fallen.
Fallen.
F-A-L-U-N.
It's so hard to say in my accent.
Fallen.
Fallen. It's fine.
Fallen. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Yeah. And so you get back to, you know, nothing more happens that night, fortunately. No dumb children
that
watching you.
And I'm patched up, right? I'm not injured anymore?
Right.
Or a long rest?
Yeah, you took a long rest.
Like a long rest?
What
do
we
call that? Why not a long rest?
That's definitely not a mechanic.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah. Okay. I'm definitely sure.
Yeah, we'll look it up later. It's fine.
Yeah, it's gonna look up later. It's like what I did time. I was like not writing down my damage for a character, and then like just because I didn't want to do the math, and then it's like, and someone is like, well, no, you have to like meanwhile subtract your number, otherwise you don't know if you're dead. Just writing down the damage without actually, and then it's like, oh shit, I've taken.
Did
10 rounds
ago.
So Dagny just looks at you like,
we come in like I've got like sticks in my hair, you've been like scratched on the face,
and she's just like, oh, was it that bad in church? He never attacked me, but I mean I wouldn't put it past him. She thinks Brucelius did this.
She says, I'd like a bottle of wine, please.
Oh, of course. You might have helped my accent. Did I know everything about wine? No, I don't.
Please.
Okay, Europe.
Make that 2 bottles.
2 bottles of wine, Francibald. Make that 4.
Oh, Jesus,
my
friends.
God. Francibald, we have to get up in the morning.
He's like, oh, I thought we were just having a party.
We can have 4. Dagny, you can join us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, and so you guys drink. Do you guys want to talk about anything? Otherwise,
she says, she's gonna drink an entire glass of wine without stopping.
Oh.
Yeah. Chunk. Carefully take out her handkerchief and wipe, because it's like leaking down the sides of her face a little bit, and like carefully clean it up, and then say, well, here's the thing.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you, men, how this is gonna go. Yeah, she's like, well, here's the thing about things that we have experienced today. I think that we need to know whose child this is and give it a proper send off. Like,
this is so good.
And Henrik is like not a sad drunk, but he's like a quiet drunk.
He's
like thinking as you're talking, and he's like very quiet and contemplative. And he says, "Did you, Efransipold, did you see how gray it was?"
I'm gonna be honest with you, boy. I frankly thought that we would not have to go through this part. I've seen terrible things. Vasin can be monsters occasionally, but that did rub me the wrong way. It certainly did. And then Dagny's like, "Mon Dieu, what are you guys talking about?"
And then Henrik kind of like scoots
closer to
Francibald. Slaps her. And he says,
"You know what I told you? What we talked about?"
To Francibald.
Yeah. Like kind of quiet, more quiet.
Yeah.
He's like, "It's not the same, is it?" And he's like doing the thing where he's like, you know, breathe talking, like in your ear. Like a drunk very close to you.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Sexy.
Tickling stuff.
All right.
Warm breath.
Sexy.
Francibald is just like, "So you... You slept with this woman? Is that what you're saying?"
No.
"You think you might have gotten her pregnant?"
"No."
"Did you ever meet her after?"
"No, that's not what I'm saying."
Wait, what?
Francibald is like, "No, I don't have any reason to believe that. I mean, it could be any child. It could be any child."
"Is it a real child?"
No.
It's not a child.
All right. Now here's the thing. And I promised I wouldn't ask about your... Well, actually, I didn't promise, but I meant to. And then we were attacked savagely by a creature in the woods. Ask you about your past. And that's fine. But if there is a reason that you believe that Susanna could have... The eyes, Henrik.
Henrik tenses up.
Yeah, as he so want to do.
And does like the sobering up thing to oneself, you know, like kind of like, and like straightens out.
Saddle up.
And he looks very gravely at you and says, "Susanna has nothing to do with it." And stands up and he says, "Good night. I've stayed up too late and I will see you in the morning." And he spins and stumbles a little bit and walks up to his room.
She leans into the back of the chair now that she's had a full glass of wine and this whole thing has happened. She looks at Francibald and she says, "We need to find a parent to give the child a name."
Honey dear, I would rest. I would go up and rest. We'll talk more about this tomorrow.
And he's very, very tired.
And she's his, even though he means it sweetly, most likely.
Yeah.
She's just drunk enough to like for that to be.
Oh, right.
Speaking down to her like sets her off. And she says, "That child was left. Francibald, you know what that is like. And not just left, killed, completely abandoned. One of these women isn't telling us everything, and her eyes, Francibald, her eyes," and she like quickly gathers her notebook and hustles up the stairs with her like silk skirts kind of rustling behind her.
Francibel follows eventually, after Astrid up to bed, but he wants to talk to her, but he knows that in this state he'll just make more mistakes and say some more dumb stuff. But yeah, the next morning you both wake up and you're feeling both of you feel like shit.
It's not great.
And you come down to the breakfast. Dagny is not there.
It was Dagny.
He was for Dagny. Once, yeah.
Exactly. And
the third and final form of the child. Dagny, the French woman.
It's always the French woman.
Yeah, it's always the French woman.
C'est moi. Dagny.
Henrik, you come down first and you notice that Susanna is actually waiting there for you.
Good morning, Susanna. I actually wanted to talk to you. Is it okay now?
Yes, today is my day off. Thank you for talking to me yesterday and standing up for me. I know I shouldn't have left you like that, but I'm a little overwhelmed by this whole situation, and things are so weird in this town right now, so I'm sorry. But yes, of course, I'll talk to you, and you guys sit down.
Yeah, I want to apologize before I bring this up. And remember, I'm working on a case. This is nothing personal. I did not know that you would be here. Susanna, were you recently pregnant?
No. No, I'm still available, if that's what you're wondering.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm really just wondering if you were pregnant recently. I don't want to know about your partners or your love life.
No, I'm not. And she gets like, starts blushing a little bit, like, oh, no, I'm... No.
I don't mean to be inappropriate.
Oh, I... Okay. Well done.
Not too late. Cool.
I understand it's a personal question. I'm going to ask another personal one. Do you know any women at the church who were recently pregnant or may have been hiding a pregnancy, an unwanted pregnancy?
I haven't really. Not recently, no. Not that I'm aware of, but I can ask around delicately if you think, is this related to what's been happening in the town?
I believe it might be, and it, honestly, I'd appreciate it if you asked around. You being a woman, I think it's more of a comfortable topic than me coming in and out of towner.
Of course. Francibel comes down, wearing makeup to cover the fact that he is, like, dying.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like, and he does not look great in it. Like, does not look...
Clearly wearing
exactly.
makeup.
Exactly. And he walks up to you and is like, oh, hello, lady. Nice to meet you again. And then he winks at Henrik.
God. I'm dying.
Fucking be cool, man.
Susanna looks at him intently in a very strange way. And then asks, where did you get that? About one of his jewelry pieces around his neck. And he's just like, ooh, well... You know what? I do collect gemstones. And he goes on a long-ass tangent on, you know, it was my old friend. No, actually, my old cousin's friend. No, was it Abby? You know, I like that kind of thing. And Susanna is just like... It's almost like some fury in her.
What does it look like?
It's just like a regular, like, green gemstone of some kind.
Like an emerald or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like to say the word emerald or something.
A green gemstone. An emerald.
An emerald.
It looks emerald?
And then she's like, I'm sorry, Henrik. We'll talk later. And then she just hurries off.
He catches her quick at the doorway. by the throat.
Punches her in the throat. Yeah. Sit down!
I think he can tell that, like, either... Francibel made her uncomfortable or like I don't think he makes the connection, like, the necklace is weird or something, but he catches her and he just says, Susanna, again, I didn't mean to perturb you this morning with my question, and I do want you to know, and he gets quiet, and he's like, I do think about you.
I miss you too. But that is like the fakest thing you've ever seen. She's weird right now. She's okay, acting in a way it's like, oh, I forgot to play this role that I'm supposed to act.
Yeah, and he's just like, and then he feels stupid for saying, right, like, he's like, I was trying to be kind. And like, so he's just like, thank you again for your help. I'll talk to you later if you find anything out.
And she's just like, yes. Tell your wife I said hi. And then she leaves.
Oh, what the fuck?
The worst.
God damn it.
Shiv.
Now he feels even worse. He's like, oh my God.
So she arrives at like the top of the stairs, like as this, he rushed, I'm going to say Henrik like rushes to grab her at the door. And that's like just as I'm like rounding the bend at the top of the stairs. So I just kind of stand there and watch the interchange happen.
And I think Henrik turns around and sees you looking at them from the top of the stairs. And he's just like,
yeah.
Great. Like, Astrid saw that. Like, I try to come down early in the morning and everyone fucking comes down.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone in the whole inn.
But Astrid, very much on her way to the table to deal with Franzibald, she kind of nods to you, like, that's your business. You asked me to stay out of it. I'm not gonna fuck with you. And then, you know, has the exchange with Franzibald, and she sits down and she says, once we are all met, I suppose. All right. So now that we are all here in the sober light of day,
I think we need to find this body. It seems like we need to give it a proper burial. And didn't they say that Christ came from the church?
They said the Christ came from the church, so maybe it's hidden in the church. Also, as you are both aware, I could not wake up early enough this morning, it appears. He's, like, not in a good mood. Yeah. He's, like, in a very pissy mood now. I did talk to Susanna. I asked her about pregnancy, which I'm sure you could understand is a wonderful question to ask a woman at 7 a.m. And she has not been pregnant and does not know anyone at the church recently who has been pregnant. So either she is unaware and doesn't know, it's a big secret, or this could have possibly happened years and years ago. Or what I'm thinking and deducing is that since the Reverend came, there have been odd things happening. And since his wife was so solemn when we first met him, her, what if the wife was pregnant? What if the child was out of wedlock or an affair or had an abnormality and she tried to hide it in the church itself? Astrid, what do you think?
I think the church is an excellent place to start. And if we are to... She like opens the book, right? And she lays it out in front of her and draws up some notes, and you can correct any of this that isn't right, but in my memory of what a muling is, the child needs, we need to find the body, and the parent needs, I believe, to provide a name for the child. So, yeah, possibly. If that's true, then we need to not only just find the body, but figure out who was the cause of this.
And we need the Reverend to give it a final resting place, properly, Catholicly or Christian.
Oh, and then Franzibald takes out a little cross around his neck, and he's like, I am actually...
Are you an ordained minister? What the hell, Franzibald? What happened since I saw you last?
He's like, I know how to do a proper burial. It used to be a hobby of mine.
I don't want to.
No, sure. I believe it, honestly. That's not a surprise.
But, so definitely you don't need... I just wanted to make
good,
sure that...
Good, because you don't want to call the Reverend. Exactly. All right, well, if we do go to the church, we can't just start ripping up floorboards. It's Sunday.
Let's go and... maybe we can talk to the minister. Maybe he's... I mean, I don't think so, but maybe he's in a better mood today.
Troubled women might go. Someone who needed someone to talk to. Or a midwife, or...
Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should go there after. Let's go to the church and see if we can figure out something there.
Yeah.
And then we'll definitely go to... Actually, a midwife would be a very brilliant idea. Gonna write that down into my notes.
smart. Friend Henrik does like a bit of snuff to kind of just like.
Actually, Anne, give yourself a +2 advantage for coming up with the midwife idea. That means that you did talk to a midwife. Nice. It's like a little bit of retcon. We're not gonna play it out, mostly because
time. Yeah,
we need like, who wants to talk
do
to
I get it? Do I get advantage for doing drugs? I'm not hungover. I'm pretty on
it
now.
The thing is, like, I was waiting for you to explain why. And I was like, yes, and. Like, tell me, why is that?
Why would you not get advantage for doing drugs?
Actually, in my game, you get advantage for taking drugs.
Hey. He's doing not only...
Children do it every day.
Not only snuff, but he does do a bit of cocaine as well.
Perfect. Exactly.
But you don't see the cocaine.
Listen, I would know private. The first thing. So she's going to go... talk to the midwife. What did she learn from the midwife? I have several questions.
The midwife does actually not... She's like, I can't give you that information. I'm under some sort of bond that might probably not exist back then. But she's like... I did...
She says it delicately,
if you,
right?
She's like, if you can keep it a secret, I did...
Prescribe certain herbs.
And, yeah, I have several women in this town, but also... I think the minister's wife was definitely pregnant, at least when they moved here, and I never saw that child.
I knew it. I saw in her eyes.
Yeah, it's like
sure.
But church in, unfortunately currently is in mass, like or whatever it's called.
Henry kicks the door down.
Exactly, doing like Aragorn.
Yeah.
But it's currently like during a ceremony, and so like a lot of people is there.
But you can
join the.
Yeah, can
yeah,
we slip
so
in?
She wants to... I'm so sorry. I interrupted
you. No, you didn't.
Okay. So she definitely is sort of trying to get to a place where she thinks she can intercept the wife when she leaves the pews, right? So she thinks, based on how these proceedings normally go, that this is a great time because he's actually very busy.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be... caring about looking out and seeing her in the audience. He barely sees her when they're together, right? So she's going to try and find her and say, I really need to speak to you now.
Right. And the wife looks at you is like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. However, unfortunately, you hear the cry. And something, it's like the whole air is getting sucked out of the whole church, like the lights are suddenly dim.
What are people doing?
People are noticing it and hearing it. Like it's not just you. And the Matilda, the minister's wife, is just like, it's happening again. It's happening again.
Yeah,
it's coming
back.
She's
gonna grab her hands.
Yeah.
She's basically gonna like grab her hand and like start sort of prestidigitating back and forth to kind of like make her focus and put everything else aside because it's very clear that things are escalating and she needs this information now.
Yeah.
And she says, she just takes a fucking gamble and she's like, I know about the child. What I would like to do is roll a manipulation check. To try and kind of like put her at ease enough and then ask her, were you pregnant and did you seek to get to rid yourself of the child?
She breaks down crying.
Yeah.
So it's like you can see it as a sort of a confirmation. Yeah. However, things are getting pretty bad and so everyone else is like up and up again.
Yeah.
You see Susanna is there, by the way. And Brasilia is just like, he's starting to pray, like, Father, vad du som är I himlen, in Swedish. And then the screaming of the child gets more and more intense. Matilda is like, she points towards the altar.
She looks at the altar.
Yeah.
Henrik looks at them looking at the altar and runs up to the altar.
Roll a force or some sort of, like, if you can...
Agility?
A force, I think, to see if you can actually, like, push the altar away.
Yeah.
I'm quite weak, but I think I'm strong because of all the cocaine.
And Brasilius just like slams his hands down on the altar.
Exactly.
He's
like,
what are you doing?
No. Yeah. He's like, what are you doing? Heathens, heathens, stop them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, and then, you know, the child appears actually. So the child appears.
Where?
Yeah. Above the altar and is just standing there and like.
Does everybody see it?
Yes,
yeah,
everyone
can see it. And she says she look. I'm sorry.
No. Go.
Okay, she looks at this woman and she like puts her hand on her face and she's like, "Madam, all this child wants is to know that it was loved and that you wanted it to have a name. Can't you do that?"
Matilda is beyond. She's seeing this child now, and like everyone's seeing it, and so she's not coherent at all.
She says these cries are not the cries of a monster. They are the cries of your child.
Brucelius is like, "This is it. This is the spawn of the witch." And she points at Susanna.
"Father, that is not a spawn of a demon. That's a child who was murdered. That child is dead and buried in your church."
Yeah. But then Dagny.
Dagny?
Are you kidding me?
Dagny is gonna turn on... What the fuck is Dagny doing?
This is not okay.
She's like, "I just don't think I can be quiet here, but I heard him talk about it last night.
Dagny!
He's protecting... I don't know." And Francibal is just like, "Dagny, no, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? You know that this is not what's going on here. You know this is true." But like, the villagers are just like, "Oh no, who are we gonna believe?" But in the meanwhile, it's just like this, there's like ghosts in there, everything feels awful. Like,
there's a
thickness over your chest because of the presence of this ghost,
this
angry ass ghost.
"Can I try again to force the altar open now that everyone's like distracted by this?
Yeah,
try.
Can I use a drug induced bonus?"
Yes, sure.
Okay.
And you can use your +2 advantage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, add to
Well, I had one success, and let's see. Just one success.
And so you get the floorboards open, and there is a child lying there. A 3-year-old, like, it looks like the body of... Actually, no, it looks like the body of an infant.
Okay.
But for some reason, the ghost is around, so you can assume that it's...
It's older.
It's like, it could be between 1 or 3 years old. Like, it takes weird shapes.
But it's been... time since they've
it's been
done
a year
this.
About
okay.
yeah
so he reaches in and it's like when your adrenaline's rushing this is so unbelievably sad to Henrik and hits home in like many different ways
but
he reaches in like very heartbroken and clutches it like close to his own chest and he turns around
in a show of like trying to like give this some kind of like how to frame this for very Christian people. She needs it to move from a witch trial to like a funeral very quickly.
Yeah.
So she is going to start, she's going to grab the wife's hand and she's going to start singing a Latin like church song that you would sing.
Yeah.
A hymn.
Yeah. Like a funeral hymn.
Let me come to it. But Brasilius is like, "Matilda, what is the meaning of this? What are you doing?" And then, like, because he's slowly realizing what the hell is going on. And he's like, "Matilda, why?" And she collapses and then looks up to Brasilius and is like, "I hate you. I hate you so much." And then he's like, "Woman, what are you talking about?" And just starts shaking her, trying to, like, shake out any sort of last life of her, basically.
Yeah.
Just abusing the shit out of her.
So she's gonna reach for the child and be like, "Can you maybe..."
Henrik passes the child off and slips his hand into his pocket very stealthily and equips his knuckle buster and is going to turn around and deck the reverend in the face.
Yes! I'm holding a dead baby, but I'm so excited.
Fuck that man.
Go ahead. Give yourself advantage. He's busy shaking his wife, treating her like garbage.
Yeah. Success.
Perfect.
Great.
One success.
But it counts.
Well, and I didn't roll any successes, so yeah, he just... You knock him up.
Yeah.
But Matilda is just, like, on the floor.
Yeah.
Not coherent at all right now. Okay. And
she's gonna run up and grab the, like, the cloth from the altar and just rip it out. And it's, like, clang, clang, clang. Yeah. There's all these, like, expensive...
candelabras and cups.
Yeah, and cups all, like, the chalices all, like, fall over. And she carefully wraps the child... and swaddles the child in it.
And you have also, from your earlier, you met with the midwife, mm-hmm. and you actually, you were thinking a little quick, smartly about, like, bringing some breast milk, and you said something, I need it for my child or something. So you actually have, like, a bottle of breast milk with you.
Okay.
Bada bit, because I was about to say, are there any pregnant women in the church? We need your breasts!
Bring them to us!
Henrik, high on cocaine, goes, give me your milk, ladies! Yeah.
And she is going to, she's like, thinks about all the scrawlings and writings in that journal that she keeps reading so fervently, and she tilts, like, the baby in her arms, and she begins feeding it the breast milk.
Is the ghost still there?
The ghost is just observing at this point.
Yeah. It's not like making tornadoes around the room.
Exactly. It's not, but it's like, it's just this heavy, heavy feeling. Yeah, you all feel like it's like the air is sucked out of the entire church. It's a skeleton, so, like, nothing really happens,
that's supposed to do.
Exactly.
Like,
you're like,
And she does it the favor, like, kind of without even realizing it, that she's, like, rocking it and, like, singing like, soft song to it, and she kneels beside this just desolate human in front of her, and she like, tries to get her to, like, just find some closure here through accepting that this is a child, even though it's not. She's very careful to, like, hold it so the corpse isn't, like, looking up at this woman. Yeah. But she's just trying to get her to be a mother for just a second. Just, like, be a mom. This is gonna pass.
Yeah.
But you need to accept that this is your child. Mm. And then she says, Matilda, a name.
She can have mine. And she says, your name is Matilda. And you perform the funeral.
Yeah, we bring it outside.
Yeah.
And it's things not feeling great, but it's definitely not as awful anymore. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's
The
weight is sort of being lifted, but everyone's just, the whole town is being like, Jesus. And the Reverend is still knocked out.
Good.
And yeah, you've performed the ritual. Congrats. You've banished your first vessel.
Hey!
Good job, but also...
And you did it, in the, like, I guess, best outcome. There were so many outcomes here. Like, the outcomes was that, you mean, to actually, like, the rituals is, like, kill the mom. Oh, it's, like, get rid of the mule immediately. Give it your name, but if you gave it your name, it's gonna haunt you.
Cool, yeah, we're not
unless
doing that.
Unless you change your name. Mm-hmm. But that's like, how would you know? Yeah, so it's like, your name is Henrik. Sure, you can have my name, you know? And it's like, now I have a child.
Is she going to be haunted then now?
Well, no, because we got rid of it.
No, but she gave the child her name.
Oh, so she's going to continue to be haunted by
Anne insisted on the name.
I know, I said, give me a name! And she's...
Wait, but I thought if you do the ritual, it would end the haunting.
Exactly, so now we've also done the Christian burial with the breast milk, so it should be fine. But I kind of also want to live in a universe where Matilda actually gets haunted for
continually,
the rest of
life. Even though... Dude, and also, I will say, like, before the burial, like, Henrik was, like... staring at the ghost child, like just like the kind of thing where it's like a car accident where you're drawn
you
to it, and
he
just, like, could not look away, and, like, the eyes and, like, the gray, you know, like the dead skin, he just could not stop staring.
So I picture in my mind three of us on this hill,
yep,
as, like, everything that was heavy moves as like a wind passes over, because exactly. Now it's all like moving again.
Yep.
And she sort of looks down at her hands that are super gross from holding this child, and she takes like a little bit of like alcohol in a tiny bottle and some herbs that you've seen. Or you see like a little, it looks like a tiny, like an airline bottle of alcohol is the only thing I can think of, but it's like a little green glass bottle and it has like herbs or like sage, and she, wash your hands, everybody. She like sprinkles a bit on everybody. And then she, in the quiet of this breeze, turns to you and says, "Well, what did you think?"
That's a heavy question, Astrid. What did I think about what?
She nods and she says, "I know, I think we all know," and she sort of brings Franzibald in, "what it is to see the things you wish you couldn't. It can weigh heavily on a soul."
Astrid, if you spent your life believing in a god, and one day you did get to see it, do you think you would feel good about that?
I don't think it's about feeling good, Henrik. It's about being together, sharing the sight and the responsibility.
He kind of nods and he gets quiet again. And he looks at Franzibald too. And he says, "I feel as though I somehow understand more. No. I feel as though I somehow know more, but understand less, if that makes sense. But if I can continue to know more by being a part of the society, I think I may want to join."
She sort of, smiles a little bit, and for a minute she's just like a pretty girl who someone said yes to, right? But then like her eyes are just so clear and steely when they meet yours, and she says, "We're rebuilding. And it would mean the world to have someone of your immeasurable talents. But you should know that the door that you perhaps will walk through is, it can be dangerous." And her knuckles kind of grip the edges of the book.
And he sees you tense up for once. And I think he, you know, jokingly kind of gives you like a little shove and goes, I've been in the threshold of that door, I think, and I'm ready to walk through with a couple of friends. So can we please get some fika? I am done staring at this grave."
Absolutely. And Francibel starts walking, but the two of you notice... at the corner of the forest, Susanna is standing there, just looking at you.
Cool.
And then turns around and walks away.
Into the forest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't like that at all. If you say that's the end of the episode, I'm going to
deck you. What do we do?
Okay, I was like, if you...
Okay, yeah. I think I might say, "Astrid, I don't mean to kick you out. I'm not sure if Susanna wants me to go talk to her, or if She was a little off this morning, and I think Francibald made her nervous. I don't want her to be nervous if you come along, but do you want to come along?
It's
been a long day.
It's been a long, been a long day. No, she kind of nods and she says, I will stay close by, but I think it's not me she's calling. And she says that really heavily.
And he knows that something's weird. Like, he's not just like, bye, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Just like, I appreciate it. I'm going to go talk to her.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, Francibal is like, you know what? I'm going to go back and try to figure out what the hell's going on with Dagny. And take
yeah,
her
what the?
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah,
forgot about that. Yeah, Francibal, can you, like, go talk?
Can you get your woman?
So,
no, I'm kidding.
So, Henrik, you go after... exactly. You go after
and
Susanna,
the party splits up.
And
you,
and I'm
you
going
walk...
to kind of sneak
exactly.
along to make sure that, like... I just, there's just something about...
You're just, like, browsing the graveyard. You're like,
exactly.
Ooh, died in, what's going on?
Yeah. But Henrik is gone for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, we go in the forest.
Yeah,
okay.
Or, like, you're trying to find her, but you don't seem to be able to find her. So, I mean, do you see, like, every time you look around a corner, around a tree, you think you see her?
And then she's gone.
And then she's gone.
The worst.
And so you continue, and then you come out, and it's dark.
Would Henrik know that this is just like Susanna's off again? Like she does, she leaves.
She has always been like a huge riddle to him.
Yeah.
And that's why she's so alluring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you definitely felt like there was something inside of you that was like, if I go to her, I don't know how I will be able to control myself.
Mm.
So it's like a weird temptation.
Yeah.
But this time. Yeah, no, this is strange. This has not happened before.
Okay, like, why did she walk into the woods? What a weirdo.
Yeah,
okay,
and also, like, why is she gone? Like, usually she appears. But, so it's, like, around 9 now, and it's dark.
Super
and
dark, because we don't have, like, flashlights.
Exactly.
Or, like, a lantern, so we have to go.
Yeah, we should go back to the inn.
Yeah, she says, I don't like this.
I think Henrik comes back out of the woods and is just kind of, like, I have no idea what that was about. I couldn't find her. It's so
dark
is what I was going to say.
Yeah, she looks kind of, honestly, if we're thinking about this time period and how dark it is, she's like, well, I said I'd wait for my friend, but I'm a woman alone in a graveyard by the woods. So this is terrible.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the inn. You look a little cold.
Yeah.
All right, so you go back.
You're like,
yeah, just like that. She says, "Oh, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me."
He gives you his jacket.
That's so nice.
Yeah, he does the chivalrous thing.
Yeah, and now he's super cold.
Yeah, he's fine. Smokes a cigarette, does cocaine.
You go back to Dagny's. You notice that it's weirdly quiet and dark. I mean, there's no music inside or anything going on inside. And the street lantern outside is not functioning either.
Okay, I light my matches and light a cigarette as we enter, and I go, Franz? Dagny?
No one replies.
All right, I want to go, I kind of move past him to some of the, like, lanterns and everything, and I start turning up the gas to try and, like, light the room a little bit and see what it looks like.
Yeah, no, you managed to do so, but there seems to be no one in the house. No one in the
entirety. But nothing is out of place? It doesn't look like anything okay?
I'm gonna go check Franz's room just to see if he's up there. Maybe people, you know, a somber event, went to bed early, or...
Yep, exactly.
A knock on the door?
Yep. It's not locked.
I open the door.
It's no one is in there.
I look around.
Yep, nope. Nothing, no violence, or nothing seemed to have happened. So there just doesn't seem to be anyone there. Are you two together?
No, I'm downstairs still.
Okay.
Kind of just waiting.
You hear a weird sound from outside. Like, and it's weird and animalistic, like a calling. You know, the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park, the...
Oh, yeah.
Like that kind of
like
thing.
Like a mating call or like a call
to
other...
some sort of like that. But it's not like the Velociraptors. Yeah. But it's definitely a weird thing. And you both can hear it from
I look out the window of the room or... do I see anything in the street or...
Yes.
Is it... So which side of the house or which side of the inn into this?
This one turns like... There's... The inn is basically by the edge of a forest, but then, like, the town is, like, in front of it. And so if you look outside, you can see into the forest. Yeah. And she's standing there.
Susanna?
Mm-hmm.
Henrik! Did you hear? Did you hear that? And she's trying to be quiet, but also that is an awful noise. Mm. And she doesn't have any sense of what it's coming from.
Yeah.
And she says, is he up there?
I think Henrik, like, as soon as he sees it's Susanna, he immediately, like, books it back out of the room, back down the stairs. Yeah. He says to Astrid, he's not up there, stay here, and grabs a lantern and goes out the back. Henrik wasn't being, like, shove-offish, he's just like, this is my problem. Like, Susanna is, like, this whole fucking thing, and he's like, I'll just go out and talk to her. I don't even think he makes the connection that, obviously, the sound is coming from Susanna. Yeah. Like, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. She's just, and she is fine with, like, because she doesn't have a bunch of weapons. Like, she's not going to go out and face these things. She's built to under... She's made a life of out of understanding these things.
So she stays inside, like a coward.
Henrik, on the other hand, doesn't understand these things. So he's not, like, afraid because he's like, why would Susanna make a Velociraptor call?
Well, that makes sense. And together, we're the dream team.
And together,
But so what ends up happening is you go out and she says, I don't like this. And it's... It's very funny, but it's also a moment where she kind of waits 2 seconds and then she goes, fuck, you know, which is so unladylike. And then she just starts inching her way around the outside of the house to try and, like, creep around and see what's going on in the yard.
All right. And she's standing there, like, 40 yards away from you, and her back is turned towards you. You join Henrik, and he's probably just observing her at this point.
You don't want to pursue her in case she calls out. Yeah, he just kind of watches what she's doing.
And she's like, just to be clear, Henrik is like ahead, right? And she just has her back to the wall of this house, and she's like, Astrid, get your shit together. Like, and she like has her eyes closed, and she's like, I'm gonna look over there. And I'm just going to see what I see, right? And so she opens her eyes and tilts her head, like, slowly and peeks around the corner to see what's
just,
in the yard.
You know, is
standing there.
You hold the lantern out, and also the moon is out, so fortunately you can see something. It's like she's sniffing the air. She does not look human, really, in her behavior anymore. And then she notices the two of you and just turns around, morphs back into a human, and she just looks at you with those unbelievable sad eyes staring right at you. There's a deep regret and despair, and you see that she's holding something in her hands.
Can we make out what
Susanna,
it is?
Susanna, are you okay? It's cold. Come here.
And she comes out closer and closer to the light, and you see that she is carrying a head.
I tried to help him. He wouldn't listen.
Susanna, what's in your hand?
It is Francibald.
No! She screams. Just like a blood curdling scream of horror.
Well, it's that scream is the last thing we hear. Because now we move back to the present. The two of you are standing by a beautiful tombstone in Uppsala.
Oh.
It is cold. And the rain, though, from earlier scenes has stopped, and it's not as gray as anymore. So what you can assume is that winter is coming, freezing temperature is coming, you know?
And I've heard that before.
Exactly, but that's a different universe. Here lies Hans Franzibald Jørgen Hansen. The world was a richer place because he once lived in it. Underneath is a symbol, similar to the drawings that we saw earlier.
I'm very sad. I'm sorry. Continue.
I'm just gonna
just like go keep ahead. Going. Keep going. I'm just having some feelings.
No, I mean, Francibault was amazing, but we don't know what's gonna happen.
Yep. Oh no.
Oh, please don't make him come back as a fucking exactly. zombie. All right.
And
go
now
on.
You see a child no. here, and it's Francibault. No. No. Child. All right. No. It's a similar to the drawings we saw earlier in Astrid's room. And Astrid, you think to yourself, Francibald, you damn clown. If this mm-hmm. works, then I'll raise you from the dead so I can kill you again, basically.
Yeah.
And so you lean down and you touch the symbol. And that's all it needed. So the symbol opens up and out comes this little piece of paper. My dear Astrid and Henrik, if you read this, then that means that I probably died a couple of days ago.
A fast tombstone turnaround.
Henrik, that was cracks, 3 years.
Henrik like, cracks up. Yeah. It's like, we've waited far too long. Exactly, that's so yeah. fucking funny.
Luckily, I know you would be able to figure out this little riddle fairly quickly because you are smart cookies.
Henrik is dying laughing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Crying laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we have plenty of time to prepare for what's next. In my study, behind the portrait of my mother, I hate her, by the way, you will find a
sassy
safe...
to the end.
Exactly.
Sassy gay friend to the end.
You will find a safe with important information on how we shall proceed. Things that have been set in motion that is very, very dangerous and potentially have the possibility to end the world. Anyway... I'm sure we'll meet again. P.S. Please feed my cat.
Oh, no.
I didn't know Francibald had a cat.
And that's the end of the adventure for this time.
Oh, no. No, I'm so upset.
Dude.
Way to end it on a happy note, though, right?
I feel so
with
great.
The dead cat and everything.
Yeah, the dead cat, the dead Francibald.
The dead cat.
Henrik looks like shit because he hasn't been sleeping for apparently 3 years. Fuck.
I feel like I would have known that.